More than half of Trojans are renters, and yet we have very few resources and protections for renters compared to cities like Albany and New York City. How can we make Troy a better place for tenants? Do you support opting into rent stabilization like other New York cities are looking into?
I'm not really sure about that. I'd have to think about that or get some more information on that. But one thing I can tell you that I supported when I was on the council and that I fully support right now is a rental occupancy permit, so that the houses and the apartments that people are actually living in are suitable and habitable. That's one of the things that truly is a crime. You know, I go door to door and I go to places and I'm just like, how is anyone living here? And year after year, a lot of these landlords just bleed the houses, do nothing to put repairs into it, threaten their tenants. There's a lot of pressure that's put on people, and it's a bad scene. So that's something I'd like to see immediately, just to bring up the quality of the housing here in the area. But Troy is going through a lot of changes right now. It's in flux. So the city is kind of morphing, and I think that's going to be better. If rents are going, I'm talking about free market here for a minute, but if the rents are going up and apartment class quality, I should say, the quality of living is starting to increase, that can put pressure on the landlords that have some of these other locations to improve their properties so that they're not, you know, inferior. They can't just keep raising the rent for nothing. You know, if you're going to pay $1,000 a month to live in a terrible location, and then there's a nice apartment for $1,000 a month, you're gonna go over there. So the free market can do some of the work for us.
I moved to this area about 6 years ago, and from Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I remember when I moved up here, a lot of people said, "Well, there's been talk of a Troy Renaissance time and again, and it never really happens."
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty clear that there has been a renaissance, that Troy is on the upswing and it's here to stay,
yeah.
Really. But one of the things that divides us is how to address this period of economic growth without the city becoming overly gentrified, and also the development of the downtown as opposed to places like Lansingburg,
yeah.
North Central. Our bond rating is up. What do you have to say about some of the changes that have led to these positive developments? Do you credit the mayor's leadership? How do you see that conflict of a city on the upswing, but what does that mean for gentrification?
To answer this one, and I'm not just being political, no, I don't credit the mayor for this. He balanced the budget and worked on the books, and that's his job. And, you know, great, you showed up for work and you did your job. So, you know, you didn't go above and beyond. Now, as far as, you know, the renaissance and the actual upswing that we've seen, I credit the businesses and the developers that have come in here and that have said, I want to make Troy my home, whether it be small businesses or some of the larger ones that have been here. They see exactly what you're talking about. They see Troy as a cool place, a funky place, a place that's got a lot of opportunity, a place that is open and ready for business, and they are coming here. A lot of these projects that we're seeing come to light right now, and this is why I don't credit the mayor a second time there, is that they actually were in development when we were in office, when I was in office. So, and I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but a lot of these projects that we're seeing that are just starting to open up and become available for rent and even businesses, that happened under our tenure here. But at the same point, we've also seen businesses come and go. We've, you know, every time one opens, another one's closing. So we are in a transition phase, and there's a lot going on downtown, but I give the credit to the people who've invested in downtown and made that, you know, what it is. Now, when you go to the other areas of Troy, like you mentioned, Lansingburg and South Troy, what's going on there? Nothing. Okay. The sidewalks that were created in Lansingburg and South Troy, again, those are things that we passed when we were in office. Okay. So the mayor, he has tried to take credit for that, and that's not even his to take credit for. I'd like to see a business improvement district in Lansingburg. Lansingburg is a tremendous opportunity and has a lot of space and has a lot of residents that would love to spend their money in their very local backyard community, but it hasn't had any attention. It didn't have any attention when I was in there. And prior to that, it was, you know, kind of being known as a forgotten area of Troy. And for the last 4 years, from crime to business to garbage, Lansingburg has remained forgotten. So that's a shame, and that's, you know, that's a neglect, abject neglect of you know, municipal obligations that have not occurred under the last 4 years. You know, if he wants to take credit for that, then, you know, go ahead. But we need to make some changes, and I'm certainly looking to do that immediately. North Central and Lansingburg, primary focus.
Mayor Madden vetoed a city council resolution that would have established the Families and Communities Together Act, which in shorthand many believe would have established Troy as a sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on that? Would you have vetoed that bill?
Yeah, I would have as well, and I didn't think that sanctuary cities were a topic that honestly the entire city needed to be, honestly, was not focused on. There was a vocal minority, a very small minority within the city that this was a priority for, but citywide it was not. The government, and I believe our government has to deal, you know, it has to protect the weakest of us, okay? I think that the government does best when it helps children and it helps the elderly and people who are not able to provide adequately for themselves. But outside of that, I think government is here for the roads, here for garbage, here for municipal services, our water and our sewer, our public safety. And those are things that have been sorely lacking here in the city of Troy. I had said earlier that the sanctuary city debate, if you will, was somewhat of a distraction because it was a hot button issue. And I think it actually ties into more national politics than what it does here locally. And people, when I'm on the doors and I'm on the street talking to them, they don't want to talk about sanctuary city. And I've told this to many people. When I was campaigning in the primary and getting signatures in the primary, I was talking to Democrats. I wasn't talking to Republicans and conservatives who none of them, you know, want to hear about sanctuary city, but Democrats. And I kid you not, there was five people that actually told me that I'm for it. The rest of them were like, no, please, no, no. So, you know,
And why was it? Was it more just that it wasn't a priority, or was it an opposition to the idea?
Both, actually, both. I would say a 50-50 split. Some of them were just like, what are you talking about? This is not an issue here in Troy. And there was the opposition, which were confused. I understand what a sanctuary city is. And, you know, I also understand it's really not going to have the scare tactic, fear-mongering outcome that a lot of people believe. We're not opening up the gates and, you know, having gangs come in here, you know, because we're now a sanctuary city. That's not, you know, necessarily what is going to happen. But there are some people that believe that, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be taking our resources and, you know, there's just going to be truckloads of people coming in here like refugees. So there is definitely misinformation or lack of information. The people that were really overtly for it, it seemed to have more of a nationalistic tone of national politics, rebuttal of the president, you know, discussion on the southern border and things of that nature. And I'd said to many people, you know, if we were a border town, or we were a town that had a high agrarian agriculture population and foreign immigrants that were involved there, where this really was an issue, where people were cracking down and disrupting families and doing all of that on a regular basis, that might be something that would be appropriate. But Troy is not that. We are a very welcoming city. We're very open. And I've talked to the police officers and in our police department. They know who the illegal aliens who are here, but they work with them. They talk to them. They're not shipping them off. They're not rounding them up. It's just not happening.
Other than at home, where can Trojans find you around town being yourself? In other words, what's one Troy spot that you can hang out in and be yourself?
I call the Daily Grind downtown in my second office. I'm probably there for a couple hours every week getting coffee. I bring my laptop down. I'm talking to people. I have meetings there. I interview new employees down there. You know, it's a good hangout. I see a lot of people, and that's a pretty relaxing spot for me during the day. I love Troy Night Out, so, you know, you'll find me there. Date night a lot with my wife. We go down to Lucas Confectionery, but we actually try to spread the love. We go around the city all over the place. I'm up here at 41 Sports Bar and Grill. Take my family there. We'll go and have dinner there. We go to Snowman. We're down South Miss South Troy Diner. We're all over the place. The Musa, the Hill, bootleggers. We're out, round about.
So if there are questions that I didn't ask you during this interview and people want to know, they can find you at the Daily Grind.
Daily Grind, absolutely.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. And I'm glad to be here. Let me know anytime you want me to come back and we'll chat some more.